Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ernie C, the Gap Tooth Genius, and I present to you episode 139 of the STS Podcast, and I am joined by my homeboy, Lodi. Make sure you follow us on X and Instagram, STS Podcast 661, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and watch live on Spotify. And correction, this is episode 139 of the STS Podcast.
Shoot that shit.
Don't worry. Shit. The shit. You'll get the shit.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ernie C, the Gap-Tooth Genius, and we are back for episode 138 of the STS Podcast. I am back for the third week in a row.
Now it's official three-peat.
Good God. They're really Magoo-like numbers.
Definitely, bro.
Our guests are, it's like, our guests are elevated by Magoo appearances, bro.
Magoo is the standard.
He is definitely a standard dog, and you are chasing that. I like it, my guy. What's up?
Hey, man. Man, it feels great to be back.
If you don't know, my guy, Lodi, is Lodi. Lodi, say hi to the people.
What's up, everybody? I mean, this is my third week in a row, so you guys are starting to get a little more familiar with me, so, you know, hope y'all are, you know, vibing with everything we're talking about.
I think it's going really well.
Yep, that's what you're saying. So we're back again. So is it 138 or is this 139?
This is 138.
This is 138. Okay.
Yes, the numbers have surpassed last week's numbers. So I think that's every time I don't even give a damn. It's two listens. It's a hit, bro. So
yeah, for sure.
We're doing the damn thing, my guy. Make sure you follow us on STS Podcast 661 on X and Instagram, Apple Podcasts, and you can watch me and Lodi interact here on Spotify. We out here grinding, man. We just listened to some Euphoria.
The new diss track by K-Dot. He finally came out, man. Finally, people been waiting, you know, and we got it. And I think it lived up to what we wanted. You know, I could say from a K-Dot fan, I feel like it was a pretty good diss track.
It's a good warning shot.
He's not done.
No. I think
another one's coming.
That line about his son is, that's a jab right to the stomach, bro. Like,
yeah, man.
Keep you back, my guy. Don't do that.
Well, I guess Drake in his last one in Push Ups, he mentioned Whitney, who's K-Dot's wife. He had a bar in there, kind of referencing her. So, you know, once he poked the bear. So so I guess all hands are off. So we'll see. The gloves are off.
It's nice to see some competitive hip hop. I know K-Dot's not gonna erase this or delete it from his library. It's gonna stay on there, and let's see what my guy Drake comes back with. What was your favorite line so far on that whole thing?
Man, I felt like the one where he said basically saying, you know, him next to Sexy Red, I feel like I see two bad bitches.
Oh,
basically
God.
Insinuating that they're both females, and yes, basically saying that Drake be like, you know, you said also something along the lines be popping his ass with Sexy Red or something like that, and I was just like, damn, bro.
And I know I heard that line before. You signed to one, who signed to one, who signed to another. I forgot. I should know as a hip hop head.
Yeah.
Now, who signed that? You signed to him?
Yeah, apparently, yeah, Drake is, yeah.
He signed to a few guys who are signed to a few guys who are signed to the guy.
There's levels, sure.
Which I'm not mad at. Get your money. He is one of the biggest.
You can't take that away from whether you love or you hate Drake. You know, he is corny, you know, whatever you want to say. You know, he may be too pop, or, you know, he ain't black enough. You know, obviously, you know, K-Dot was mentioning that a lot in this record.
Yes.
Calling, you know, saying he can't say the word no more.
I think, but when it comes to you and I don't think we're in any position to tell
somebody we're. And obviously, we're not even saying the word. Obviously, you guys know the word that we're talking about. Yeah,
I don't think we're qualified to say it was black enough, but I kind of see what they're saying, though. Rosé came out with a little,
every day, Rosé coming on social media every day and calling Drake white boy and BBL Drizzy and all this shit. I don't know. He's insinuating that Drake got a BBL, which is wild to me.
Wildest thing I've ever heard in
like,
my life.
I never heard of a man getting one of those, but guess that's possible.
Sure. If you guys see where I'm looking for.
We got
Kenny in the building. Kenny's out here grinding. Episode 138. He's made a few appearances over here bothering my guy Lodi. Hey, Kenny, nigga.
He's chilling.
He is chilling. Hey, look at that. My hair net. But yeah, man, it's nice to see hip hop, you know, getting some shots in, being competitive. I think that's what it's all about.
Definitely. It's a competitive sport, man. So it's, you know, and like the thing, it's all subjective and, you know, it's all opinion based. You know, there's no really right or wrong answer, you know, and I want to let people know that it's okay to like both people.
Yes,
it's okay to like both rappers. It's okay to admit that both diss tracks are good.
Yes.
It's okay if you don't like either of them, or if you like one more than the other, or whatever the case may be. You know, everybody's got their own preferences.
He sent a cease and desist to Kendrick for the like that? first or the remix?
Yeah, I guess.
What the hell is going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's that weird shit. I don't like, bro. We out here. I do see where the Tupac family is coming from, though, because that AI shit was
That was weak. That was weak. I didn't care for that. Like, I felt like, I guess it was creative, like, because it was, like, different, but, like, I just wasn't vibing with it. I don't like how that he brought, you know, Tupac and Snoop. Even Snoop Dogg came out and said, bro, what the hell?
I don't even like the whole, like, doing, like, the Loyal to the Game. Better Days was a good album, but those post-death albums that they dropped and shit, mm-hmm. I never felt those. So now he's doing that. Like, dude, this is nothing to do with your situation, my guy.
I never vibed with, you know, artists' music coming out after they're, you know, in the grave, because it's just like, you know, I feel like you gotta leave that shit.
My guy,
I
mean? Ann Banks, bro, he loves this fucking song with the Biggie duets, and it kills me. Ann Banks, we can never listen to that shit again, bro. Stop it. I remember cruising one time. Let me show you this. I think it's the man. It's the one with Jagged Edge and shit. It's trash. God, it's horrible. My guy, Ann Banks, shout out to you, my guy. So yeah, bro. That's what's going on in the hip hop, bro. What's going on? What's real life going on right now? How you doing?
Real life, man. Just shit, bro. Just the work. The grind, man. Shit just got off right now, you know, the good old 8 to 5, man. But yeah, just putting that work in, man. Just, you know, trying to build there. So just doing that, man. So, you know, same old, just trying to, you know, keep pushing, keep mashing.
I appreciate you coming on.
You know,
right,
yeah, thank you for, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Thanks for having me. But
I know those days can be grinding along, and some people just want to go home and they don't want to be on a fucking video camera doing a podcast. But hey, dog, I'm glad you're here.
No, this is giving me something to look forward to. You know, I'm trying to work on, you know, other hobbies outside of, you know, work. So this is, you know, gives me something to look forward to during the week. So no, I fuck with it. So it's, you know, it's cool coming on here, you know, and obviously I've been getting some good feedback from, you know, my homies too, been saying, you know, that they've listened and they like it and whatnot. So
my guy Nick wants to come on.
Yeah, on Friday I was over there at Nick's and yeah, played them both episodes. Damn, he was like, man, this is making me want to record. We weren't smoking. We was drinking, though. We was definitely knocking a few drinks back, for sure.
We doing like our podcast. It'll take me like, I gotta be blown to listen to myself for 2 hours, dog.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't ever
listen to the pods.
Yeah, dude, I normally don't either, but then I was just like, he said he wanted to hear him, and I was like, all right, this at least gives me like a little bit of, you know, I could kind of like hear myself from the outside in, and it is a little weird listening to yourself, you know. I've never been a big fan of how my voice sounds, you know, so it's kind of, you know, a little different, you know, hearing yourself, you know, but
I think I say dumb shit sometimes.
Definitely.
I think I just say some stupid shit.
We'd be saying some stupid shit all the time, for sure.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, like, it's all off the cuff. It's all tongue in cheek. Some stuff I think we're really serious about, but there's some stuff that's like, we're just fucking around. Like,
well, yeah, because you can't take life too seriously, man. We don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck what Drake and Kendrick doing. Yeah. I'm just happy they're still rapping.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Who gives a fuck what we think about their, who's winning the, they don't give a damn what we think. They're going to drop it no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I'm just enjoying the back and forth. I'm enjoying the art. I just hope it keeps going. I hope this just keeps, they keep raising the bar. Hopefully we get better diss tracks from both artists, and, you know, it keeps going. But I'm still hurting from last night, man. Lakers.
Oh my god, dude. By 2.
We got the gentleman's sweep. You know, we only got 1 win, you know, lost in 5, and yeah.
Jamal Murray,
bro, 2-game winners, bro. Yeah, dude, that's the thing, like we talked about in the other podcast, bro. We always play it cool with Denver. We always keep it close, and the games are always, like, you know, always come down to the wire, and, you know, another 2-point loss, it hurts.
Did you see that stat, how many minutes we lead in the game?
Yes.
And that differential is ridiculous. That was our favor.
And the mind-boggling stat. Yeah, we were way ahead of them, lead. Yeah,
it's like, how do we lose games before, you know, the difference is like maybe 5-1.
We've had double digit lead. We had double digit leads in every single game. So
I'm not gonna lie, we were down by 20, or we were up by 20, and I swear I wasn't gonna put 25 on Denver to win. But I was like, no, I'm a Laker loyalist. I can't do that.
And
we fucking lost.
That was the one. If we would have won that game, I feel like the series would definitely be much different. You know, once they went up 2-0, I don't think, you know, there was really no chance, especially when we went down 3-0. You know, we won game 4, but it was just kind of like, you know, for what?
Two questions. First one, how do you feel about D'Angelo Russell at the end of that bench snacking down on some fucking food, bro?
Man, I want to hear your opinion as a basketball coach, because you actually have experience, you know, coaching, you know, so I could just, from just my perspective, you know, you're asking my opinion on it. That's just, it's disrespectful to the game. It's disrespectful to your teammates, to your coach, to the fans, to the whole organization. And it's one thing you're doing that for Charlotte or Washington, and that's still unacceptable, you 100%. Know, those bottom, you know, bottom, you know, tier franchises, but doing it for the Lakers, you're wearing that purple and gold, you can't be doing that, you know what I mean? It's just it's good, and you know, he's got that opt-out contract. We won't be seeing D'Lo back in a Lakers jersey next year. I think that's a safe bet. He won't be back on the team.
I agree with you, sir. I don't see him
I don't see no way he could come back. And then Darvin Ham, even he came out with some comments after the game, said something. He brought, you know, mentioned that about how he did that. So, you know, Darvin Ham's straight out calling you out, and, you know, the presser, the post game presser, you know, that says a lot. So,
as a coach, I've let kids do their own thing when they're pissed. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that. Take shoes off, guilty of that. Get off the bench, stand behind the bench. But I never had a kid snacking down at the end of the fucking bench when we're in the huddle and we're, you know, we're in the shit. We're in wartime. This mm-hmm. is playoff basketball. I don't think our girls were just locked in. The regular season, when a lot of that shit goes down, and that shit kind of, it just depends on the situation. We see a lot of this shit on film when we're looking at film again, and because I can't see everything half the time.
Yeah.
So it comes to my, you know, attention when we're watching film, and I'll address it if it's really, really obvious. Like, man, this is gonna fucking hurt the team. If I let one kid do it, then everybody's gonna do it. It wouldn't fly with me. Like, dog, you're snacking down. It's not you're mad, you're taking off your tape, you're pissed off, we took you out, you're fucking throwing a fucking, you know, a bitch fit. You're pouting. You're snacking down.
Yeah. Oh, whatever he was snacking on. Yeah, that shit's whack.
See, this is that generation shit, though, bro. He's spoiled. Mm-hmm. He's young. He's a young kid. Maybe, I'm sure he regrets it. I don't know if he apologized for that behavior.
And obviously, we remember the first stint he had with the Lakers where he had that incident with Nick Young. And, you know, he snitched on Nick Young and said, you know, about, you know, his personal matters, you know, his pillow talking about his relationship with his woman. And,
I forgot about that.
You know, obviously, he got shipped out shortly after that. You'd figure, you know, maybe he'd, you know, matured a little bit. But, you know, he came back. We gave him a second chance. And, yeah, it looks like two years with us again. Another is on the second stint with the Lakers, and it'll probably be his last.
Yeah, man. I like D'Lo, but that
he actually played good this year. You know, he set the record for Lakers most three-pointers in a regular season all time, which is a mind-boggling stat. Because imagine all the greats that have played for the Lakers.
Yes,
100%. So it's, you know, that's pretty crazy.
But
to
D'Lo,
say
D'Lo, you gotta go, my guy. Yeah, you can't be doing that shit. The playoffs, my guy. No way. The Kobe would not allow it.
I can only imagine what happened in the locker room after. Did anybody check him? Did LeBron? Did AD?
So.
Did the coach? The team leaders, you know, would have had to say something. I imagine how that conversation went.
I seen this thing when Frank Vogel, who's he coaching right now? I forgot.
Phoenix, and they got swept too. They got to find a scapegoat in every situation, and usually it's always the head coach. So
and
Frank might be gone too.
I seen this report that he had. I guess he yelled a little bit. You know, had to try to hype these guys up, and these guys weren't buying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it's time to go. Like. Nah, we laughing at you, dog. That's not your character. Stop it.
Yeah, once they're not even paying attention to you, when the coach is, you know, dialing up plays on the sideline and, you know, drawing stuff up on the board, and you don't even have your players' attention, and you lost respect to the whole team.
Yeah,
you know, it just goes. A lot of these relationships are too fractured beyond repair, and yeah, it looks like
it's going to be really hard to get the team back from that point.
Yeah, for
There's
sure.
There's some guys who are capable of doing it. I went through that at one point this year. Not that I'm. The shit, but man, I was in the paper on.
I seen that, man.
I was in the paper,
my
guy.
That was so
cool.
Dope, bro. That
but
was so dope seeing that over the
shout
weekend.
Shout out to y'all.
Yeah.
But
congrats again.
I have lost a team, but you have to do some. You have to figure it out, and you kind of have to give a little bit more than you're willing to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen, but there is a chance for you to get that back.
Yeah.
But not in the playoff time. Like, we had our blunders in November.
Yeah.
And I lost them in November, but then, hey, we had to kind of give some back, so we get them ready for January, and they were locked in by January, bro, and the rest is history. So can't say it's never going to happen. It can happen, but...
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Not in playoff mode. We're down 3-1 or 3-0, and we're fucking on the verge of getting swept. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is this LeBron James' last season as a Laker, or is this his last season period in the NBA?
I think we have LeBron coming back next year. I think... The Lakers always do what they want, what they can to make their superstars happy.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is, I think that if we keep the 17th pick, because that's what we're scheduled to have,
okay.
Unless the New Orleans Pelicans could either take this pick or next year's pick.
Okay.
They still have that from the AD trade from years ago. So it's a pick swap, but apparently they're not going to do that. So if we do hang on to the pick, they're saying that this is like the weakest draft class in the modern era. So it's looking like Bronny, his son, is in the draft. I think the Lakers are just gonna. I think they're just gonna make LeBron happy. I think they're gonna draft Bronny.
You think they're gonna draft?
I do. I see that happening just to make LeBron happy. I see them doing it. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily. I don't know if he's really necessarily ready for the NBA. But a lot, you know, some people do. He didn't really get a chance to show too much, you know, his first year at USC. You know, he let him come off the bench, and obviously, you know, he came back from that cardiac arrest. So, you know, it's just a miracle that he's able to, you know, yeah, still 100%. Be able to continue his career and still play.
Scary
but
shit,
okay. I think LeBron loves LA. Apparently, I was reading, I heard Brian Windhorst, you know, he's been covering LeBron forever on ESPN.
Yeah.
And he was saying on First Take this morning about how LeBron is building a $100 million, you know, mansion in LA, you know, so he loves it in LA. His family's there. Obviously chasing rings is important, and I'm not saying that he doesn't want to get that. I don't see the Lakers. I don't see a way that we're going to get another ring. We'll see. We need a lot of help.
We need to be young.
We need a big.
Not
only do we need a big to help down there with AD. We need a guard that could defend and hit threes. Because
dude, AD played really well. Man.
AD played really well, but the problem with it is that he kind of will disappear. Like in the second half, there was games where he was dominant, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden the second half, he's just like, you know, where is he at? Like, he's probably our best offensive player.
That might come down to coaching too, though. They figured, they made adjustments in that second half.
You know, I want to be our head coach. I want Rajon Rondo to get a shot at head coaching.
Shit.
His basketball IQ, you ask anybody, he's very smart. He sees the game just like LeBron does. I think that, you know, if anybody gives him a shot. So I do see LeBron coming back, and I do see him coming back to the Lakers. If he wants to go get a ring, I don't think it's going to happen with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So if he does want a ring chase, you know, I could see him. There's some teams that he could go to, and definitely, you know, if he wants to get, you know, his fifth ring, you know, sixth ring, whatever he wants to do, you know, then that avenue is definitely open. But I see him coming back to the Lakers.
I was just having this discussion with one of my coworkers, man. I'm encouraging him. He's a young kid. He works with me, you know. He's an adult, but he's a young kid. 22, 23 is young to me.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah, man, young to me too, man.
Yeah, dude, like 22, you're a baby. I know you've grown. With these kids, you've grown. Well, I get it. Yeah. But to me, you're still a child.
Yeah.
But I'm encouraging him to go apply for this coaching position we have. I'm not going to say what and where because I really want to start none of that. Apply for this coaching position because I think our school needs to take a risk on some young talent, mm-hmm. someone who's played the game, someone who could engage with the students, who's a Foothill alumnus, who knows the students.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what we did with our girls program at one point. Like, why not take the risk? He's a minority, something different than the last couple coaches we had the last couple years. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. We are a minority dominated school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is on the east side. The majority is the minority. And I think it's an experiment that could go well. And if we fucking fail, who cares? We've been failing these last couple of years. We failed.
Yeah.
Like, why not just try to go young, go different, experience? No. Has he played at a high level? He has. He knows the game. And I told him, the key to all this, bro, who cares if you fail, dog? But at least you tried. And you got to surround yourself with people who know more than you.
Mm.
The biggest quote, I dropped this the other day too, when one coach of the year and shit. Actually, and it's another wrestlingism, right? We'll talk about AEW shit later. Remind me about that.
Oh, okay.
Eric Bischoff said this a long time ago, bro, and I've always been like, man, that's me. The smartest man in the room is the one who knows he's not the smartest man in the room.
I like that quote, too.
And I told him, like, bro, you got to surround yourself with people who will know more than you, but you're going to be you're going to be telling the welder what to build, but you want to build your building. You got to tell these people how to build it.
Yeah,
you
sure.
have a lot of veterans around you who are willing to help you. And I said, just take the chance, my guy. The worst they could say is no, but if you get the shot, then shit. I say, fuck it, take the deep breath, and here we go. We're going to take a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's the kind of way I did it. My way is not the right way, but I surround myself with people new more.
See,
than
you
me.
You repping still? Still yeah, got you man, still got the shirt, you know?
Still,
know
still, on the
still
podcast.
Always gonna be, it's still always going to be in your blood.
Yeah, man, I love the program, dude. And you know, right now we don't have a coach, and that's kind of we could talk about that too. It's kind of scary, but
when does the season start?
It starts because
I was gonna say, yeah, school season's yeah. coming to an end, right?
But right now is a crucial time because in May that's the time we get ready for summer league.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Summer league to me is the time when the kids need to be coached. Mm-hmm. Fuck winning. We don't care about winning. We want them to learn how it is to be coached.
Yeah.
Because most of the time we are going to lose summer league. No one remembers a summer league championship. We don't care about summer league. We care about getting the kids to used to being coached. Because yes. a lot of these kids are coming up now. They know, and I tried. What I was trying to do, I'm still acting. I'm still in it. What I would do is let my assistants take over summer league. Let them coach it up, and I'll be the assistant coach.
Gotcha.
I'll be sitting in the stands because they need to hear a different voice and be seeing different styles of coaching. You know, so right now, you know, Fred's looking for a coach, and it's kind of like, damn. Shout out to my guy, David Jackson. I think it's breaking news that he's going to be the new girls basketball coach at BHS. Shout out to my guy, David.
Congrats,
my guy. Put the work in years and years and years and years and years. And I'm nothing but happiness. He's my friend, so I'm happy for him.
Bro. Yeah.
That's awesome. He deserves it. And that's his alma mater, so I know how it is to... I want to go coach my alma mater.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could see why you decided to make that choice.
Can't be mad at him. Yeah, not at all. Like, and... So that's what's going on girls basketball, you know. But that's just kind of where we're talking about being young and just giving guys shots. Like, you want to get Rondo a shot? I think we have to give the new blood some chance, bro. Like,
I mean, look at Jason Kidd, you know, yes. point guard. You know, he's you know kind of had a kind of somewhat similar career to Rondo. You know, I'm not trying to compare the two, but you know, yes. they're both high basketball IQs, both you know point guards, both pass first guys, both 100%. You know the top. You know, 5 top 10 assists all time in the NBA. You know, check my facts. You know, I don't know
the exact
numbers, but I know they're kind of like in the same ballpark. And I know LeBron respects Rondo. He won in 2020 with us. Yes. He won in the bubble. Even LeBron on one of his most recent, you know, he's got a whole bunch of different podcasts. He's got that one with Redick. And he's got the barbershop. The one with Redick is good.
I heard it's really good.
It's good. Really? I watched it with my boy Nick. And yeah, he put me on. And I was watching it. Yeah, it's very good. He even mentioned how he's surprised that, you know, Rondo isn't a head coach, so that says a lot. So you know, one day, you know, if it's not with the Lakers, it'll be with somebody else.
And I'm even the guy who replaced the homeboy who was doing his thing with the Boston Celtics. I forgot the new coach's name. He's doing a solid job with that squad.
Joel Messiah or something. I think it's not
the biggest name in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The casual fan player has no idea what the hell that is.
Yeah, they let go of Udoka and went with him. Yeah,
he's
kind of picked up right where they left off. Yeah. Honestly, Boston's right in the thick of things. You know, fuck Boston, but you know, they're still they're you know doing the thing out in the East, but you know.
So we'll talk about doing my thing right now. I guess we can just talk what's going on in real life, shit, right?
Yeah. Let's get into your shit,
love
bro.
Being at the boxing gym,
dude. Yeah, tell me about that. Whose gym is that? Is that a homie that you know? And he runs a gym, and
my boy Daniel actually runs the Bakersfield Police Activities League.
Okay,
shout out to my guy K-Man Miguel Contreras. You know, he's been on the podcast. He's
come
after wins, losses. What, you know, we dissected his fight a few times, and
that's
was some cool shit.
That's awesome.
And I never, like, I'm a boxing guy, bro.
So to actually be next to a boxer and like dissect a fight with him, like that had to have been awesome.
And all my life, I've loved boxing. I've had plenty of. I had my guy Eddie Sanchez. Eddie Sanchez is probably the first famous celebrity guest I ever had on my podcast, professional guest on my podcast, you know what I mean? And that's my homeboy, like, mm-hmm. you know, he was a pro boxer, and my guy Caveman, and just having these, and I was telling my guy Selby today, I love boxing more than basketball.
Yeah.
I always have.
That's
and I love, you know, I love the game,
You
bro.
Love the game, yeah.
But if you guys can't see, I got boxing on the wall too, you know, and to be back at the gym, bro, because once I knew I wasn't going to walk away from coaching, and I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it. I knew I wanted to go do something else, and I wanted to go shoot film for baseball. I wanted to go shoot film for boxing. And my guy Daniel's, you know, Daniel's been on my podcast. He's a pro trainer, so he's been on my pod, and I've always told him I'm going to go one day to go shoot. And he's like, bro, whenever you want, my guy, I will be honored to have you. and came in, dog, and man, they really make me feel like family in there, dog.
Yes, you've been over there the last like several nights, huh?
Yeah, dog. It's like the kids are asking me to help them put their gloves on.
Oh, that's tied
it up. You know, everybody, it's respectful. I love how everybody is dapping everybody up before they leave. When they get there, hey, what's up?
Respect.
Hey, good job, kid. You know, just, and when they're sparring, they have respect for each other. Daniel has good kids in there, and he's a good leader for those kids. And I really love seeing this, how they interact with each other. It's all for the love of boxing. And so I've been dropping some videos that I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Estella, man, I think it's Valadez. Sorry if I fucked up your name, kid. Number one in national right now, dude. She's really? Number one in the national in her weight class.
And she here from Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
And then doing some research on this, because I don't know the local scene as much as good as I used to.
Yeah.
These kids have been having KGT come out and doing like little segments on them, and it's like, oh shit, okay, cool. Like, she's really number one in national at her weight class. And
that's awesome.
He has a couple nationalists, and this kid yesterday, I met him, man, what the hell was his name? Rowdy. Some kid named Rowdy. Sorry, Rowdy. I should know. But this kid had like 200,000 followers.
Oh, shit.
Yo, he dropped my pictures on his page, and I got like 1,000 likes. I was like, shit. God, you, bro.
Yeah,
like,
fuck yeah.
I don't do it for that, but
yeah,
I had no idea. Like, I didn't film because I knew you were doing
it for likes or, yeah, you know, clout or anything like that.
I had no idea you had this following, but I just did because the kid had, man, I don't have my phone. It's right there. I don't know if you seen the kid that was bloody nosed up, and he was getting, they were fucking knocking the shit out of each other yesterday, bro. Good sparring session. I just wanted to take some in-action film, and...
No, it looked good.
It looked cool. Good.
It's the little snippets that I've seen, you know.
Yeah, no, so it's cool to be back with the love I haven't had in a while.
Remember the backyard boxing days?
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. That's so much fun, bro.
God, you really had to be there.
My guy Don was talking about the box. Shout out to the box while we keep it there. This used to be a weight room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you used to have the bag in here.
Yeah, this used to be a weight room, bro. This is where we got down at all the time. So it's nice to be back, though. But nice shooting and just kind of trying to get better with that. Just trying to, like, right now I'm just grinding. I'm hustling everywhere right now, though. I don't.
You're a true entrepreneur, man. I know I said this already, man. But mad respect, bro, because it's really brave to be able to go do that. Because everybody likes the sound of being an entrepreneur, yeah. And a lot of people say they want to do it, but to actually be able to, you know, make a plan, make a goal, and put in the action and put in the work and grind, it's a whole different story. Not a lot of people do it because a lot of people are scared to fail.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, for you to be vulnerable enough to go out there and do it, all the things you got going on with the Fendi machine and DJing and all that stuff. And
you have to, I think before you kind of, you always have to set the foundation, in my opinion. Like, you have to, if you're going to do a hustle, get one hustle that's going to be the foundation. And for me, I was lucky as DJ. You know how much we love music.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was never, it's effort, but it's fun. It's like, damn, this isn't stress.
You enjoy doing it.
Like, the weddings and shit are stressful a little bit because you got to do a Bridezilla's, you got to make sure you're on time. But once the business shit's over, damn, now we get to the dancing part. And that's easy, bro.
Yeah.
Mainstream music and just, you know, Mexican music and 90s, 2000 hip hop, all that shit, old school. Easy to mix, dog,
for sure.
But you gotta pay respect to the game too. I'm a big believer on respecting your gigs, and you gotta treat everyone like it's your first one because you're booked. This is, people are paying you to be here, and mm-hmm. You can never take that shit for granted, dog.
That's a blessing.
Once I figured out that foundation, then I was able to venture out. Because honestly, dog, and this is for everybody, as a DJ, you have thousands of people looking at you at these gigs. Who gives a fuck if you fail? You can't, because if you fail, fuck it, you do. They're never going to know.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong? With vending? Have I failed with vending? Fuck yeah, I failed with vending. I was talking to Don about this yesterday. I went in like 6-7 months ago, maybe longer than that, bro. A year ago, I bought my first vending machine. It fucking failed utterly.
Fuck.
I wasn't educated on it. I didn't know how to fix my machine. I didn't know my machine needed repairs. I didn't know how to do repairs. I didn't know about manuals. I didn't know about anything. So I didn't know how to do inventory. But it took me... I sold the machine, and ever since then, I've been slowly every fucking week, bro, without a machine, just learning about it. How could I do this the right way now? Mm-hmm. How could I get a contactless payment method? How could I make sure that this refrigerant's not going to mess up? How do I know I'm getting a quality machine? And just got blessed, bro. But shout out to my guy, Jonah.
So how many vending machines are you at right now? Do you just have the one? Or
two.
You got two of them?
Two. I'm working on a third one. The second one's not even ready yet, bro.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You want to answer that? You can answer that live on the pod.
Oh, nah, it's cool. Yeah, it's looks like spam calling, so, yeah.
So, that's The second one's not ready to go yet, bro. But that thing too, we got to make sure we take our time with everything. I actually got hit today for another one, but you know, I'm not scared, bro. I've never been scared to just do what I gotta do. And you have to keep grinding shirts. Everybody's copying those. I like that. Man, somebody ordered like four of them the other day. I was like, damn, that's tight. Oh, hell yeah. So the keep grinding shirts, bro, and just the podcast. This is the grind too, I feel like.
Definitely. This is a grind because, you know, you know we're probably, you know, we're still building, you know, but yeah, you're consistent. And that's another thing a lot of my homies have been telling me about. They're like, hey, bro, I think it's cool that Ernie's consistent with everything he does, because I think that's the number one thing, bro. You'd be coming out with them weekly. And obviously you've taken breaks, you know, over the last couple years since you've been doing it. You know, you've had taken months off, weeks off, or whatever, but it looks like you're kind of get back in the flow of it. And I'm grateful just to be able just to come on, and I'm, you know, people actually like care what I have to say, you know.
Yeah, bro. And
shoot the shit.
And this is just another avenue of, it's not a stream of income. It can be. I'm sure we'll get sponsors and all that good shit, bro, but I like it because, again, we're consistent, and it's good therapy for me.
For sure.
And it's nice to – and now without coaching, I love coaching all my heart, bro. But I feel good because now I'm able – all that time – and, you know, too, I think you know a little bit how much time I spend, but you really don't, because, you know, we don't hang out every week. Mm-hmm. Now we do because we have the podcast, but – dog, how often do we hang out every week in the last 5-6 years?
Not often at all, bro. We would see each other maybe once or twice a year. Yeah, maybe. Dog.
Exactly.
For fantasy football, we'd be here for the draft. And then maybe a random fight or a party.
And then I'm DJing. Yeah,
or you're DJing somewhere else.
That's my guy, Rob. You know what I mean? That shit is like, I love it. But now that I have time to do all this, there's no reason why I can't set all these brands up, dog. Mm-hmm. And no, the easy shots, the vending machine, the pod, the merch, you know, the DJ thing. Like, all that is just a foundation of what we got going on, bro. That's why it is DJ EC3 merch, because it's DJing. That's what we're always trying to flood everything back to the main grind.
For sure.
So I think that's the way we're going to do it. I don't know if it's going to work. Honestly, I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm not afraid to fail. And I'm not going to just not do anything because, oh, fuck, I might fail. So anybody out there, like, just put your best foot forward, and whatever happens, happens, dog. Because I'd rather just say, hey, at least I tried, than I said, fuck, I was scared. I didn't.
What could have been? What could have, should have, you know?
I've always was told, bro, you don't ever want to be a could have, would have, should have person. Mm. Like, because, you know, just say when we 50, we talk to these youngsters, oh, I could have done that. Mm. I do not want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. Shit, I fucking tried it and I failed, but you know what, homeboy?
At least I tried.
Learn from me, dog. So that's why the boxing thing right now, man, it's new, but damn, I want to. If I can go every Monday, I'm going to try my best to go every Monday.
So is that kind of the goal going forward? Try to go once a week?
I told my guy, Danner, shout out to Danner. He's allowing me to do this stuff. I want to be there for the real fights.
Oh, yeah.
Saturdays are kind of crazy for me just because I have the gigs.
Is that when he does the fights on Saturdays?
His fighters are, again, these are young amateurs. I think they're going to Visalia this weekend. I can't make that one, but yeah. I would love to. And I'm not charging these kids. This is all from the bottom of my heart. And then, you know, I'm hoping eventually somebody say, hey, how much you charge? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, dog, I'm trying to hustle so much with the brand. I've been doing, like, I'll show you when you leave. I did softball introductions the other day.
Oh, hell yeah. I definitely want to see that.
Number 8. You know what I mean? My shout out to my guy, Jose. And yeah, you know, I charge him a little bit, but that's just, I have the equipment to do it. You know what I mean? And just shit like that, dog. I'm just trying to grind any way I can, man. And that's another thing, too, and this is, like, it's personal, this is my podcast. Like, I don't want anybody to think, like, you know, oh, yeah, I want to, like, right now, you know, the thing is to go to BHS, go to football. I'm like, I'm not doing anything because I need the money.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. And, like,
for the love of the game.
Me and my fiance, bro, we are happy. We never glamorize the dollar. To have it's nice, but the hustle and the real job and, you know, her stuff, we're fine. Kenny's gonna eat every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The bills are paid.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not, and I will help people if I can. You know what I mean? I can help people if I can. You know what I mean? That's my main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna make any move because, oh, I feel like I need the fatty.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. I'm in the point in my life, and people, my boys know, my boy Angel says this all the time, I'm not going to do anything I don't want to, no matter what. I will not do anything I don't want to do, bro. Like, and that's why I'm like, damn, like, something has to go. And I'm really, really good about walking away when I know it's time to go. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm kind of like, man, I know I could take, I'm gonna probably talk about it for the next 10 podcasts, but I'm still kind of sad that I'm not coaching anymore, though. But
no, it's it's gonna really hit once, you know, it actually starts going on. But yeah, no, that's normal.
But with,
you know,
school and everything too, and then we still got the school grind and.
Oh, yeah, you're still, is it Taft?
No, it's at Fresno Pacific now, baby. We're going to get bachelor's now.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, and going back to Taft, too. Oh, my God, dude. This is, I know what kind of
ranch. That's right. You DJed over there recently, right?
So the person who used to have my advisor, actually now the in charge of like the student union. And, dude, and the homie who's the, my guy, RJ, what's up, bro? He's supposed to come on the podcast, too, because I like his style, though.
Yeah, hopefully he comes on.
He's a young kid. He's good. He's a Foothill kid, too.
Okay, cool.
So we're talking about how we found Taft College, and I graduated in 2021. To see these kids kind of go through the same struggles I went through, it was just kind of like, damn, you could be UPI. Just do it, my guy. Their whole thing is, oh, no, I'm going to fail, you know. They don't know what it is to fail. They're still young. Mm-hmm. So to go back to Taft, and it's kind of, and again, you're embraced because you're an alumni, and it's kind of cool. Like, yeah, they want to see people who graduated come back to Taft.
Yeah, for sure. That's
so
cool.
So to be booked there and playing music there, bro, that's on my bucket list. I've always wanted to go back to Taft College and play some music.
That was your first time going back there and, like, working, DJing? Okay, cool.
So check this out. The last time was the spring fling, right? I guess it was like the welcome back for all the students. And, dude, there was a president of BC there, like the student union president.
Okay.
He's like, yo, I need to get you because our DJ was kind of not as good as you.
For BC?
Yeah, that was pretty cool, too, dog. So they had fun, and that's the grind. Like, that's what I want to do. It's cool to, you know, and I know other people have other goals, but me, I'm just trying to stay consistent.
And doing what you love, bro. That's what you said. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the love of the game, and that's important.
Because I don't know anything about photography, but I'm trying to learn.
Okay.
I'm just learning, and it turns out decent because I've always thought I had the eye and the graphics. Like, you've seen the Foothill page. Like, I did all their social media and doing my guy Aaron's social media. Like, I love shooting the barbers. That's cool as fuck too, dog. So. If I could just help my people out and we could just elevate their shit, because at the end of the day, if I help elevate them, more people would come see my vending machine. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So
facts.
It's like, and that's not the only reason why I do, but that's kind of how I justify it. Like, mm-hmm. let me take over your page, because I would love to be a social media manager too. That's another goal that I would love to do, dog. Like, I have a lot, man. I'm just trying to do it before we get old and we're not able to do this type of shit anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. It's cool, dog. We can keep grinding, man. Everybody.
That's what it's all about.
If you got goals and shit, man, do that, because when you.
One day you're not going to be able to.
We're not going to be able to, bro. We're going to look like Gwen Stacy, because I was watching Amazing Spider-Man
2. Oh, that's right. They got all the movies coming back into the theaters, which is crazy. They have to make up for all those flops they had with Madam Web and shit.
Yeah. Have you watched Madam Web?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Bro, I don't Stick. I'm like, no,
I don't want to watch
it. I feel horrible not watching. I watch everything. You know how we are.
We're nerds. We watch all those Marvel shit, but that one just looks unwatchable.
Oh, God. Amazing Spider-Man 2 wasn't that bad, bro. They both weren't that bad.
Andrew Garfield was a good Spider-Man.
He was, bro. And it was very nostalgic this morning when I watched. I woke up at 6:30. I still had a couple hours of kill for work. And this fool was bugging me, so I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna go.
Fucking Kenny.
I'm gonna watch some Spider-Man in the morning. Dog, that wasn't a bad movie.
I feel like slightly they were trying to cram a little too much into it. Yes, that might have been like my only complaint, yes, you know, because they had like a lot of villains going on with it. They had Electro, and then they had a. You know, they had the Hobgoblin, and, you know, they had, you know, I feel like they were trying to jam-pack too much.
Rhino
trying to jam-pack too much in like a 2.5-hour time span. But overall, I liked Andrew Garfield as a Spider-Man. I think he deserves a third movie. I doubt that's ever going to happen at this point, but the fact, you know, he got a lot of positive reviews for being on No Way Home.
I think it might.
Yeah. It's either that or Tobey Maguire for Spider-Man 4. Oh, they're saying that's rumored if Sam Raimi's down to come back and do another one.
Oh, yeah.
Or, Tom Holland is obviously rumored to get his fourth solo film up off the ground.
What if this was all planned?
You never know. Mm-hmm. It definitely could be all in the could be all in the plan.
Having these three guys play Spider-Man could have been all planned, bro.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna be.
They
surprised.
Were all good Spider-Mans. Yeah, I'll say that. I enjoyed all three of them as Spider-Mans and Peter Parkers. I thought like they all did a great job.
No Way Home was a trip to watch yesterday.
One of the best experiences in a movie theater that I could really ever remember. That was just so
like when Tom Holland's Spider-Man is gonna hit the Goblin with his
With his
I can't say because I have a speech impediment.
His thing that he flies on.
His glider. What the hell is it called?
Glider.
So there we go. I was like glider because I used to have a speech impediment when I was younger. Don't tell nobody that, dude. I can't say glider. Now I have to. I have to roll my L's. I didn't want to butcher it. Shit, glider.
There we go.
When Toby looked at him and stopped him, I was like, oh god, that shit got my heart again.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was an emotional film to watch.
It's up there with Rocket when he got his friends killed or his friends got killed from.
Oh man, Guardians of the Galaxy, man.
That shit killed me. Oh, when they see each other in the afterlife and we ain't ready for you yet.
Yeah, we're not ready for you yet. God. I think there wasn't a fucking dry face in that audience. The grown men were crying. Obviously, the kids were like, damn.
Marvel blessed us with some good shit.
Yeah, they definitely blessed us with good shit. You know, they've fallen off, you know, quit a little bit. They've lost a little bit of steam, but hopefully they're going to, you know, pick things up. You know, I got faith. You know, hopefully, you know, we talked about the Deadpool Wolverine trailer last week, so hopefully that's the building towards, you know, getting back their feet on the track and, you know, people start, you know, enjoying the films and shows again. So we'll see how it goes, man. Hopeful thoughts.
You watching X-Men 97?
Oh, man, it's so good.
God, it's so fresh in a weird way, even though I feel like I've seen this before with the other.
Yeah, because it's kind of got similar animation style, but still kind of it's got its own twist. Like their costumes are a little different.
And they're focused on everybody.
Yeah, everybody's really getting like time to shine. All the characters are getting time to shine.
I love Storm's character. I love Rogue's character.
Magneto, Gambit. Gambit.
I was kind of skeptical in the beginning. Like, man, why did I get my guy like that? But yeah, when he got.
He put in that work of what episode? What was that, five or six? Oh, man, that was so crazy.
He sacrificed himself.
Oh, we don't want to spoil anything. But.
Well, and then yeah, Professor X is in like another
world
like or another dimension or something. Like that was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm gonna be honest with you. I watched a handful growing up, but this is the most I ever watched an animated X-Men in my life.
Yeah.
I watched a few coming up. You know what I mean?
But not like watched every episode.
Not like this because I just wanted to give it a chance.
It used to be on that Saturday morning, you know, cartoon, you know, spin whenever we were younger, and it would come on with all those other, you know, shows, but. But yeah, this one, you know, definitely could appreciate it. It seems very mature, and the storytelling is good. The action is good. Like you said, they're giving everybody a chance to shine. You guys should definitely check it out for sure. If you guys are into Marvel and you guys haven't seen it yet, it's on Disney Plus. It's good stuff.
And on Disney Plus, you can find Shogun.
Oh man, it's on Disney Plus. Oh, that's right. They combined with the Hulu.
Did you watch the last one?
I haven't watched the last two episodes.
We'll save that for the next pod.
I gotta get those in. I've been dreading watching it just because I know that they're not coming out with the season two.
Yes, because
the reason I was wondering like why? Because it's so widely regarded as highly rated. Oh my God, everybody loves it. It's you know heavily viewed. It's critics love it, and it's because it's based off of one book. So they're like, well, we would like to do a second season, but we don't have any material to go on.
I love how they've developed these characters.
Yeah.
And you don't know what they're saying. You don't understand. It's mostly subtitles, right?
You definitely have to really be, you can't be on your phone when you're watching that show. It's all reading. Yes. It's all subtitles because, you know, it's obviously, you know, that culture, you know.
And so. Dude, the way they develop these characters and make you feel for these characters.
Yeah. That's a sign of it's a good show, Quinn. Yes. They're not even speaking English, and you're just practically reading, you know, 99% of the time, and you still are so invested.
I think this is like one of the last series. Man, I only want to say it was Breaking Bad, because I caught Breaking Bad. I didn't catch it at the time it was coming
out. I caught it later, too. Obviously, it's one of the greater shows that's, you know, ever hit cable, you know, but I didn't catch it when it was going online.
I think Better Call Saul was the last series I waited for it to come out. Like I was watching it live. Like I'm waiting at 12:10 for these Shogun episodes to come on live.
Hulu is really good at these types of shows when it comes to Snowfall.
I've never seen that.
It's great. Oh my God. That's the next one you got to dive into. Snowfall's good. And then obviously they had Sons of Anarchy, you know, fan favorite.
I liked the first season of that. Mayans,
you know, obviously it's kind of like the prequel. Well, not the prequel, but it's, you know, it's a different biker gang.
Yes.
You know, that was good. You know, FX puts out a lot of good shit. So
Prey was my shit.
Oh, Prey.
Prey was a great one. I think we did part of that.
I think we did too. I think they greenlit a sequel. They're doing a sequel for Prey, so we'll have to see where they go from that. But
I think
that
it's like a Civil War setting.
Yes, I did hear about that.
So the guy who's in Shogun, the main character, I just know him as Scorpion. They're talking about what if they made a Predator in the Japanese, I guess, 1600s, and he's the main character fighting this Predator. That would be cold.
Oh my god! People would watch that.
I would so watch. And I'm so sorry. I should know. I know he's a legend in the culture and martial art culture as well. I should know his name. I apologize. We're not experts here. We're just fucking...
Forgive us. We're just shooting the shit.
We're just shooting the shit.
Like the name of the podcast.
This weekend, we have a Canelo-Alvarez fight.
That's right. We'll be here. Me and Robbie, you know, you invited us to come over.
My cousin Martin, too. Shout out to my cousin Martin. Have you met my cousin Martin? From Martin's Meats?
You know what? I don't know if I have. Okay. I've heard of Martin Meats before,
though.
Yeah,
it's my cousin.
Oh, that's your cousin?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'll tell a story. His grandma and my grandpa are brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Crazy, huh?
That's crazy.
Weird. It's not a weird thing. It's a small world, and that's my second cousin. That's my guy. Like, we talk frequently, like...
Yeah, so who's Canelo fighting?
Jaime? I can't say his damn name.
I don't think I'm too familiar.
Okay. I'm going to say Munguia. But he is definitely no walk in the park. I think we said that before, and it's going to be interesting to see what Canelo could do.
Yeah.
He has the power, but I think, you know, Jaime's 43-0, 44-0.
Oh, really?
And he's on this golden boy momentum is crazy right now. And,
yeah.
And I think, I think it's a fight we need to watch.
Yeah.
I want to go, you want to make a prediction? I know you don't know anything about Jaime.
I don't know too much about Jaime. So, I mean, obviously the safe bet is Canelo. I think Canelo ends up winning. I'd probably say he ends up winning by TKO later rounds or by decision. I think it ends up either going the distance or it's just like I can't remember the last time Canelo actually like knock somebody out. It usually wins by TKO or like decision, right? So
man, who the hell did he fight last? I have to check, man. I should know this stuff. But so
I should know. I should know too. Yeah. I'm mad that I can't even remember his last.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of research on it. We just kind of shoot.
Doing this live. We're not reshooting or doing any retakes or anything. So.
I think he wins knockout maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th round. Okay. That's my prediction.
Okay.
But you never know. These golden boys are shocking the world right now, bro.
Imagine the boxing would get flipped upside down if Canelo gets taken down. Because obviously, again, you know, he's the top dog right now. You know what I mean?
But he lost to Pavlov a couple matches ago. That's why I think he's been really selective about who he fights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just had there's a big bout coming August 3rd. I actually need to see if I'm booked that weekend. Terrence Crawford's coming to LA, bro.
Oh shit!
August 3rd. Yeah, it's the same. Man, I want to butcher it, dude. I just don't want to. Like, it's Saudi Arabia, the capital that WWE always goes to. Starts with R. Ryda, whatever that is. They're having a special. They're bringing out what?
Oh, Kenny going crazy.
They're bringing out Terrence Crawford, Andy Reese. Couple legit fighters, bro.
Okay.
And it's happening.
It's all gonna be on the same card?
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Oh man, it's a big card, bro. What, Kenny? What?
He's like, you gotta wrap it up, Dad.
Come on, man. No, bro, we ain't wrapping it up. You better stop, man. But it's a big card, and I think they want that, the Saudis want that American boxing money, dog.
What, baby? Come here. We're going to bring a special guest here. Oh, this is Kenny. Hi, Kenny. Say hello to the camera.
Look at Kenny making the guest appearance. Look at him getting some FaceTime.
I don't think he likes it like this, but he's going to have to do for this. Man, Kenny, I'm going to have to switch the whole technique up, baby, because you don't want to be chilling. Okay. This is my dog. I'm not going to even say it's my dog. It's my fiance and his baby. Huh, Kenny? Say hello to the people, Kenny. But yeah, dog, I think it's gonna be a good bout. Terrence Crawford in LA is a big deal.
Who's he fighting? Do you know?
I can't tell you. That's why it's new. Sorry, forgive me. I can't even tell you, bro. But
either way, I'm gonna watch.
He's the pound for pound best fighter in the world, though. I'm cool with the LA trip. I think we need to do that.
Yeah, no, we definitely gotta lock that in. I'm down. I've never been to a pro boxing fight live, so that would be, you know, get that off my bucket list would be cool.
You ever been to a bachelor party?
Definitely been to a bachelor party. been to a few of those. Those are always fun. So the last one I was with, Rob. Okay. Rob at his in 2021. So that was the last bachelor party I went to.
I'm not gonna have a wedding party for my wedding, bro. But we have a date for the bachelor party and for the wedding. So I'm really honored if you're gonna go.
Yeah, I'm locked in, bro. Wait, definitely in Vegas. You said.
Yeah, man. Because we're gonna watch this Sanction.
That's the weekend of the Tyson and Paul fight.
And we'll boxing fight. It has to revolve around a boxing fight, bro.
That'll be fun to be down there for that.
It's gonna be, and they just sanctioned that. I think it's gonna be 2-minute 8 rounds. Yeah. It's sanctioned. It's gonna count as a record. And they're gonna use like 14-ounce gloves, but shit, it's still a fight.
And no headgear either, right?
No head protection. At all, bro. Yeah, it's gonna be a good show though. I think it's gonna be really nice.
Who are you calling Paul to win, or do you think Tyson's gonna be able to pull that out? He's 58 years old. He's 58 you know what years I mean? Old, so
28 year old man. But if anybody could do it, bro, I think it's Mike Tyson.
That's true.
Mike Tyson is the man, dog.
Yeah, a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be rooting against Paul. You it's know, on everybody Netflix. Wants, and it's on Netflix. That's crazy.
Hey, dude, this is like the preparation for Raw.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw going to be moved to Netflix January of 2025, which is a huge deal. The Netflix is starting to get live sports now. It's, you know, it's a big deal. So. Yeah, this is definitely preparation. So they're definitely going to, I'd imagine this is going to be start happening. You know, it's only a matter of time before they start getting other, you know, sport avenues on there. So,
hey, last subject before we head out, we have to talk about this. Tony Khan taking a Meltzer driver. What do you think about this storyline?
Oh, I definitely caught that part. Was surprised. But, I like it. I like that he's selling it. I seen that he was at the draft for the Jaguars, yes. And he had the whole, you know, neck brace on and everything. So I thought that was cool.
He looked like Vince with the steroids.
It definitely makes me want to tune in to see what happens tomorrow on, yes. Dynamite. So I'm eager to see where they go, how many more layers they got on this storyline. Obviously looks like Jack Perry is going to be permanently back on the roster.
Yes.
And he's going to be reunite, you know, in there with the Bucks. And who's that? Is that Okada?
Okada, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's Okada.
Okada, so. Dude, that's why I'm kind of giving this a chance. Okada is a legit beast.
Yeah.
One of the best wrestlers.
One of the best wrestlers on the planet.
100%.
But a lot of people aren't familiar with his game because he's been in Japan his whole career.
He's
but.
The Babe Ruth of New Japan. I know that's a big thing, but no. The impact he's had in New Japan Wrestling, he is the Babe Ruth.
He had right? matches with Omega and stuff like
he
that,
he made
right?
a lot of guys, bro.
Yeah.
He made a lot of guys. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's a little bit too late for this storyline. But hey, you know what? They're a new company. And I hope it works out, but I really think it's too late to do this reality-based shit because they had CM Punk there, bro.
Yeah.
I think this would have been great with Punk when he was there. And
the ratings are in the dumps. It looks like the attendance, you know, every time I see on social media, the attendance at these events looks, you know, really bad. So obviously they're just kind of just, you know, swinging for the fences and hopefully, you know, something sticks. So.
But I'm glad they're doing it though, man. I really like the direction of the boss getting his ass kicked. I know we've seen it with Bischoff and Vince. And it's going to be a very, very intriguing.
Everybody always wanted to whoop their boss's ass. So whenever you kind of get that storyline in, you know, professional wrestling, you know, it kind of gets people excited to tune in and, you know, because it makes you want to see that happen. So.
And I like, you know, Jack Perry saying, you know, you stole 4 months of my career. And I'm like, okay, dog, this is at least it makes sense. Because right now, that's how desperate I am for these storylines to connect.
Click. Yeah, to connect. Yeah,
please just make it make sense. Unblock me. And
Young Bucks, you fuckers. Unblock my boy Ernie.
They're such marks, bro. I can't stand them. They're such fucking marks, dog.
Yeah, they're fucking whack.
The draft was last night. Did you catch some of that?
I caught some of the draft from Raw. It looks like Raw's roster is a lot better than SmackDown's right now. If I was comparing, you know, roster to roster, obviously it's pretty weird and ironic that the most compelling storyline is between two injured, you know, wrestlers with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. Oh, but it is so entertaining. Whenever they're able to actually start competing in matches and wrestling against each other, the build up, it's going to be highly worth it. I can't wait to see where they go with it. I did catch a little bit of the draft. It looks like these drafts don't really make sense because it seems like the rosters didn't really change that much. Yeah, so it's kind of like, what's the point if you guys are doing the draft in WWE if the rosters are really not going to really change? So, you know, I watched it, but you know.
I'm a I'm always been on the team of if we're gonna have this brand split, we gotta do the brand split.
Yes.
We can't have them interact. I love CM Punk and Drew. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. Mm-hmm. See, Dom Mysterio's out right now for a little bit.
You know? It looks like they said that he does not gonna have to get surgery, so he's probably not gonna miss significant time. So they're still gonna have him in the storyline with the Judgment Day, but obviously he's gonna be limited on what he does. So
the injury bug has definitely impacted the WWE right now,
for sure, definitely.
But they're so loaded.
Yeah, the roster is deeper than what it's been in forever, so obviously they're able to land on their feet, you know, and you know, elevate other guys during this time. So somebody's got to step up, and that's what happens. So
we'll see how it goes, my guy.
We'll see what happens.
Well, you stepped up, bro, for the third time.
Three weeks in a row, man. It feels good coming on the pod, man.
Whenever you want to come on, my guy.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, if you keep getting good feedback about me, you know, hopefully after this one you get some more good feedback, obviously let me know. But
I'm going to try to work this out when we get three of us on the mic and put Rob in here on Saturday, bro.
Rob or Nick one of the other homies. They've definitely been telling me they want to come on the pod and shoot.
My guy Jesse wants to get on, too.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
I don't want to hog
all the spotlight. You know, I want you to still get, you know, other people on here. I know you don't want to give other people their due and highlight other people. But so
again, we're doing it consistently and we're enjoying it. We're not forcing it.
Yeah, it's not work. It's fun.
It's cool to talk about, you know, hip hop,
our
and
common interests, and everything that we love. Yeah, bro. Fucking love it.
So. Episode 138, STS Podcast, Ernie C, my guy Lodi over here, STS Podcast 661X, Instagram. Follow us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. Watch us on Spotify. My guy Lodi, 138.
Yee.
Appreciate you, big dog.
Appreciate you, man.
We out.
Yee.